At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Don't really know what was up with the lineup. Like, I don't understand why Keon didn't play more minutes. He got some burned at the end of the fourth with like 2 minutes remaining.
You cannot start settling for fucking threes and not try to attack the paint. And again, this is the worst team in defensively in the paint as well.
For example, I mean, Keegan was 63% from the field, only on 11 shots. But what would happen if he took 15 shots? He was 7 for 11. So it's like, that could have helped. Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily. Joined by my co-pilots, Naima and Liz. What's going on?
Hey, y'all.
What's up, y'all?
Okie doke. First quarter, Fox connects with Keon with a lob. Keegs goes 4 for 4 in the quarter. Domas and Fox struggle at the start of the game. Wiz up 35-27. Second quarter, Kings continue to struggle. Wiz go up 19. Kessler comes in with 4 minutes to go. Kings actually win the quarter 27-21. Wiz only up by 2, 56-54. My friends, thoughts?
I mean, after the Kings started off terribly, I still believe that we're going to come back from 19-point deficit. I mean, the Kings have come back from bigger deficits. So I'm like, okay, because they were just missing shots. It was just like Fox was just coming up short on his threes, on his layups, everything. So I'm like, okay, once they start hitting shots, it'll be okay. So that's what happened. Basically, after being down, they just, you know, chipped away until the halftime. So I wasn't too surprised with being able to come back from a deficit like that. The second half, however, is a different story.
Yeah, defensively, I liked how, I mean, Fox had like 2 steals early. Keon had a steal early. So I thought they were definitely getting out defensively. But it's kind of hard to come back and win a game when you get down, you know, multiple times by, I think, what, like 19 points first, then they got down by like 18 points the second time. I mean, it's just hard to do that. But I like the fight that they had towards the end of that first half. I felt, you know, they were turning it up defensively. Fox finally kind of got going, so he finished the half with 10 points after just a really, really bad start for him. He was just missing literally everything, layups, midi, threes. I mean, he just literally could not hit a fucking shot. So they got it to within 2 going into the half. And I mean, I guess that's pretty much all you can ask for, you know, especially when you get down by 19 early.
And I knew something was up, though. Everybody was just off, but you know you're in for an interesting game, at least when Fox misses an end-to-end layup. 99 times out of 100, he makes that. He does 1 or 2 at least every game. And he goes ahead and misses one in the second quarter, which I thought was really interesting. What can you say? And then I also was actually thinking, I was like, damn, is Domas's double-double streak in jeopardy here? Because his stat line, he only had like 1 rebound and maybe 4 points. Granted, it was only early in the second half, but I was like, could it be? Could his streak be broken? So yeah, really interesting game. But moving forward to the second half, HB with this slow Euro step for an easy layup. Kessler hits a 3 from a Fox kickout. Shout out to Kessler Edwards for slowing down Kuz a little bit. He had him. I saw him make Kuz miss a fadeaway. I love this one sequence. I posted the video of it. Davion makes this passion play where he dives out of bounds and saves the out of bounds ball. And then Monk gets it, dribbles around, throws a bad pass to Domas. And then Keegan grabs the pass and hits a fadeaway to beat the shot clock. Love that part. But for whatever reason, the Wiz go on a run at the end of the quarter, and they're leading 84-76. Fourth quarter, Fox hits two threes and a midi. Kings actually gain the lead, 88-87. Keegan hits another shot clock three. Wiz up six with 2 minutes to go. Kings just don't get it done. Wiz win the ball game, 107-102.
Yeah, I mean, that second half was extremely disappointing. I understand that the Kings had a game yesterday, last night. So it's just like, yeah, okay, tired legs is expected. But, I mean, you can't be dropping a game like this against the Wizards. Come on, like, they're literally the worst team in the league. You had the chance to win the game. Don't really know what was up with the lineup. Like, I don't understand why Keon didn't play more minutes. He got some burn at the end of the fourth with like 2 minutes remaining, but I wish Fox didn't like I understand he was making his threes, so like it's not terrible a terrible shot when he shoots a three, but I just wish he drove more. Maybe he was getting sick and tired of not getting calls and then driving to the bucket, but just a rough game in the second half. Very disappointing because, like, you got to win these games, especially what is it like 13 games left of the season, and like it's super tight. Like, I don't, you know, you gotta show more effort than this, especially with against a team that's not making the playoffs, that have been eliminated for weeks now. But yeah, you can't really do much about it. You just have to go. Forget about this game and go for the next one, try to win the next one. So, yeah, hopefully they don't go down again. We were down 19 by the second quarter and whatnot. So it's like you can't – it's hard to keep exerting yourself again and again and again when you're already down that much, and then you come back and then you go down again and then you come back. And it's just a lot, and Kings need to, you know, just keep the foot on their neck like they did last night against the Raptors. Like, it wasn't a close game at any time. So, yeah, just put your head up and just go for the next game.
Yeah, I mean, to start off the second half, you know, you let them come out, and they are like the worst third quarter team in the league. You let them come out and instantly go on like a 9-0 run. You just can't do that, especially when you work so hard to get yourself back in the game going into the half. Just the thing that's disappointing is I wouldn't even say the effort was bad, because I thought the guys were diving on the floor for loose balls, you know, things like that. They were just losing those 50-50 balls. So I wouldn't question the effort, because I thought the effort was there. But the thing that I will question is when you get into a point in the game in the fourth quarter and you hit your third team foul of the opposing team, you know, they foul you three times, and I think it was like six something left that they hit that mark. You cannot start settling for fucking threes and not try to attack the paint. And again, this is the worst team in defensively in the paint as well. Attack the fucking paint. I get that you're frustrated, you're not getting any calls. It doesn't mean you shy away from that shit. Get to the fucking paint, do what you can do, because you're not hitting fucking threes. So we can't be Captain Save-A-Ho with Malik Monk, 1-for-7 from three. De'Aaron Fox was shot from three 14 fucking times tonight. Chris Duarte shot like seven times from three. I mean, a lot of those guys generally are not like, you know, besides Fox and Monk, but Fox does not need to be taking 14 threes a game. That's absolutely ludicrous. But when you have guys like Chris Duarte not knocking down threes, get to the fucking basket. They were packing the paint. They were daring us to get into the paint. Get to a midi. Get some screens in there. Do what you got to do. Malik Monk definitely can hit that midi. Keegan Murray can go. Like, Keegan Murray was so aggressive to start the game. He started off the game 4-4 with 8 points immediately. Then he just, like, disappeared. Like, I don't understand what it is, like whether it's the play calling that just gets away from him or whether he gets away from himself. But the settling from threes shit just pisses me absolutely the fuck off. Because when you get a team in the penalty really quickly in a quarter, you have to take advantage of that and get to the damn free throw line. And again, especially when you have a team that is so fucking horrible in the paint and you refuse to go to the paint, is just crazy to me. Like Davion, usually he can be aggressive. He was not aggressive tonight. I mean, he was not looking for his offense at all. And I'm sorry, when you are down three of your rotational players, and now Kevin Huerter, who's probably gone for the season, so prayers to him. Now you don't have Trey Lyles, which is a key rotational player, and Sasha was starting to, you know, be in the rotation. When you don't have three people in your rotation, you have to be more aggressive on offense. You have to get to the basket. You have to do what you can do. And Davion does that so well sometimes. And then some games, he just absolutely shies away from it. So I don't understand that. So this is a really, really disappointing loss. I don't understand settling for the three. It's really fucking frustrating with this team. They truly do live and die by the three. And I just don't understand why, when you have guys like Fox who can get to the basket, when you guys have Malik Monk can get to the basket, Keegan Murray, it's just really, really frustrating sometimes. Even Harrison Barnes can get to the basket. So it just pisses me off when this team does this shit.
Yeah, a lot of questionable things about this game. Like Naima mentioned earlier about Keon not coming in until 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Keegan doesn't even take a shot in the second quarter. And yeah, if we have to nitpick, and we've spoken about this before on the podcast, but De'Aaron taking 31 shots and only hitting 10 of them, just the inefficiency there, if I have to nitpick, it would be just more shot distribution, please, among the players. For example, I mean, Keegan was 63% from the field, only on 11 shots, but what would happen if he took 15 shots? He was 7 for 11, so it's like, that could have helped. He was 50% from three, 2 out of 4 from the three-point line. Meanwhile, De'Aaron was 5 for 15. So it's like, I'm not sure what happened to the rhythm of the offense, especially since they were doubling De'Aaron all the time. So I thought that was interesting. But just remember, I mean, this isn't the Raptors, who were just a depleted team. And even this Wizards team is totally different since the All-Star break and all the trades. And think about it. The Wizards have players that everybody wants, right? They have Kuz, they have Denny, they have Tyus Jones, who didn't play. So they have pieces, not to mention they have a hungry center in Rashawn Holmes, who probably has something to prove against the team that let him go. And he did really well as well against us. So I'm not saying this is acceptable. Yeah, a team that's trying to make the playoffs and trying to stay in the fifth seed or the sixth seed should be trying their best to be consistent and win games like these where they are favored. I'm not going to call this a should win. You know how I roll. But yeah, it is what it is. And not to mention, and I posted this in the announcers, if you were listening to the Raptors broadcast last night, and also this is just known knowledge, traveling from Toronto back to the U.S. is crazy. You have to go through customs and all that, and that takes a long time. So if anything, it was just a bad travel night, probably little rest. It took literally a half to get their engines humming again. So it is what it is. It is a bad loss, unfortunately. And again, like Liz said, you cannot fall behind and let another team, your opponent, gain confidence and you play catch up in the second half. Liz, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, this 100% is a bad loss. What I'm going to say is I'm going to shout out Kessler Edwards because he came in that second quarter and absolutely changed the game. And it was a big reason why we were able to get the lead down to 2 going into half. What I will not accept is parts of our national or our media people tweeting and questioning what Mike Brown does in his rotations before it even fucking happens. Let someone come in and do what they need to do. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and you can criticize it all you want. But to make such a stupid assumption and tweet when they give someone an opportunity, again, we are shorthanded. So Mike Brown is trying to find something that's working right now. And again, coming off a back-to-back, you got to figure something the fuck out. So Kessler Edwards came in and absolutely killed it against Kyle Kuzma. I thought he played really, really good defense, had some really nice steals, things like that. So before you decide to tweet something, just remember, wait until it fucking happens before you actually tweet something. It is so mind-boggling that some of these people, media, some of our fans, that just love to spew the negativity. There's absolutely no positivity on your timeline sometimes. And it's just straight negative. And I get it. You can be critical of a team. But to live in the misery of just negativity constantly is just insane to me. Like, go outside, touch some fucking grass, get some sun in your fucking body, do something. Because, again, you can be critical of the team. I get it. But when things are going good with this team, why don't you tweet about it instead of just tweeting the negative and the negative and the negative? Because some of y'all, I swear to God, just love to fucking be negative. And it's absolutely crazy to me. And again, I'm going to say this. There has been some questionable tweets today regarding Kevin Huerter's injury. This injury is going to fucking suck when it comes to playoff time, because Kevin Huerter, again, is a key piece to this team. I get it. He's struggling. And people can say they want Keon to start all they want. I 100% get that. What I will not get is people thinking that, you know, oh, now it's, you know, oh, he's forced into this situation, da, da, da. I would rather if this happened in a competition standpoint and Keon winning the starting job because Kevin was struggling and they just decided to go with it. But now Kevin is hurt and now people are kind of celebrating in a way that Keon's going to get that starting spot. That's disgusting. Don't fucking do it. I will literally block you. You're a disgusting human being and you should literally take a look in the mirror and question yourself as a human being. Because that is not okay. Also, I will say praise to Kevin because he's probably going to be out for the season. That's absolutely a horrendous injury. So this team is obviously affected by that as well because they're losing a teammate for the rest of the season. And this might be the last time we ever see Kevin Huerter in a Kings jersey. We do not know what's going to happen this offseason. So think about what you fucking say before you go out and tweet and want to go viral or whatever you weird fucking people want to do, because I'm fucking sick of it. I'm sick of the despicable shit that fan bases do. And I'm not just saying our fan base, because other fan bases do that shit too, especially when it comes to opposing players. I will never wish injury upon any player in the NBA because that is absolutely fucking disgusting.
Right on. And shout out again to Kessler Edwards, who after that big run, when he came in, he was a plus 16. He ended the game with a plus 12. He made a difference, and hopefully this is a Keon Ellis moment for him where he gets a little more burn after tonight. Let's face it. Unfortunately, Kyle Kuzma had Keegan Murray's number, whether Keegan was tired or whatever, or maybe it was just a confidence thing. Kuz burned him a lot the whole game. Unfortunately, Keegan's a minus 21 tonight. It is what it is, but yeah, Kessler is literally the only other option to guard twitchy 6'8", 6'9", guys who are athletic like Kyle Kuzma. And he's our only other option. So if anybody criticizes putting Kessler in questions whether it's the right time or the wrong time, my goodness, learn more about basketball. It's absurd, okay? And hopefully some of you actually listened, because I know we're going to hear some of the same old bullshit. And it's like, I swear to God, some of y'all don't listen. I still see the same things on my timeline time and time again. It's weird. Eurosack, let me get you in here. You too, Manny. Appreciate y'all coming in on a Thursday night after a very disappointing loss. Man, it's rough. Thank you, though. We appreciate you. Eurosack, what's up?
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Good afternoon or good evening, good night, dear Sacramento fans. It was a beautiful night. I arrived in the U.S. in my New York home, I poured some whiskey, started watching the TV. I literally planned my flight to watch this game. Everything was beautiful until I turned the game on. I completely agree with Elizabeth. You can never ever see me anything against Mike Brown. I like the guy. I love the guy. That guy was the main reason why we ended our 17-season playoff drought. And whenever I think of a move during the game, he just does it. He's just like, just tonight, I was like, maybe try someone else, you know, like things are not working out. And then Kessler Edwards comes in, you know. He literally does everything he can. And he has a great staff. But sometimes, you know, he's not the one that's playing out there. It's the players. Players don't play hard, or players don't do the right things, you know. They just don't do the right things to win the game. Just like tonight, Sabonis turned the ball over a lot of times. De'Aaron Fox took 15 threes. 15 threes, bro. Even Stephen Curry doesn't take that many threes. And I can question some of the three-point shots he took. You know, those weren't the right shots. He just forced. I'm just so upset that, you know, I'm here drinking my whiskey, having my food. I have everything in life. I have the money. I have the culture. I've been traveling around. One night I'm in Turkey. The other night I'm in Greece. The other day I was in Caribbean for the whole week. That's why I couldn't attend to the space. And tonight I'm in New York. But after, like, when I have this kind of life, I ruin it by over a Kings loss against Wizards. Like, I'm not happy right now. I'm not going to be able to sleep over this, you know? This just ruins my whole night, whole mood. This has been like that ever since, you know, Hedo Turkoglu got drafted. I don't know what else to say. I just agree with whatever you guys say. I just wanted to add these. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Eurosec. And I'm sorry to hear your night was ruined. Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. At least you're drinking something good.
You know what I mean? Thank you.
Pour one out for me. Manny, what's going on?
I mean, what am I supposed to say to that, man? I went from Freeport to Florin to the 99. How am I going to compete with his traveling? And I'm upset too, but I can't compete with that flight.
No, but Manny, you got to probably pass by Marie Callender's, though. You know what I mean? That's pretty major. I mean,
that's true. But he's probably eating oysters and lobster on his flight, and I got donuts and McDonald's. I don't know. I was upset until he started talking. Now I'm not so upset anymore. I'm more upset about my lifestyle than I am about the Kings right now. But onto the game. This to me is a very disappointing loss. I love you guys when you rationalize things, and especially you, Daily. God bless you, because at the end of everything, you always have good reasoning. Even if I disagree with you at times, I get it. But This is why. And look, before I say this, I want to preface this. I don't like the national media. I don't like the portrayal of the Kings. I don't like 90% of what they say. But I tweeted this also. You cannot get upset at the national media sometimes when this is the effort that you get from your team. And it kind of backs them up. Not to say it backs them up entirely of like the portrayal of Sabonis and all that. But even that, like I'm watching the game, I'm like, dude, there's no one on this team that can guard you. Not every game I get where he, what he does, the facilitating, the great plays, his decision making 99% of the time is great. But there are certain games where he should be licking his chops, looking at that team and dumping on them. And these are the games where I'm like, when he doesn't do it, I'm like, dude, like just this one game, man. Just I don't care if I don't even care if they foul you out, but just go at them. Just go at them. Cause you're giving them you're kind of giving them ways out of the game. But and I get the back to back, but they won in a blowout last night. Most of the guys didn't even play major minutes. I get the travel, but this you can't. Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to come back from 20-point deficits, I think, but you shouldn't be in that 20-point deficit to begin with. You shouldn't be in all these. You cut it at halftime perfectly. You had them on their heels, and then beginning of the second half, you see what you see. And it's like, dude, these like the Pelicans lost tonight. Perfect chance to move up in the standings a little bit, and you didn't. And it's unfortunate. And I said it's like, it might benefit the Kings, but it's unfortunate. It looks like Brandon Ingram had a knee injury, and I don't know if that's going to end up being something that's just he tweaked or whatever. But like you said, like you guys said, these are games you have to have. You cannot be losing in the latter part of the schedule against the worst team in the league. Like this is these are the I don't there's no game that's a freebie. Everybody's an NBA player, but these are like literally the freebies that you have in front of you before you hit the brutal part of this last part of the schedule. So like thankfully they seem to get up for all the good teams in the league. So hopefully that's what we see when they play some of the better teams coming up in a little bit. But this is a huge to me disappointing loss. You see the way the Monk walked off the floor. He was livid. Like and I agree with everybody on the mic. I saw a bunch of Kings fans reactions about Mike's quotations, like what the hell about taking out Keon, not seeing Keon for a while. Look, man, when you're down by 18, 20 points, you shouldn't be questioning the coach at all, trying to find something, anything. Doesn't matter who it is he takes out, who he brings in. He's trying anything to get the ship right. And for the most part, he did. He found the right, he zoned in on Kessler and he got the ship right temporarily. So kudos for Mike for keeping them in the game. As much as his players tried to keep him out of the game, he kept his team in the game by some of the moves he made. So kudos to Mike. They should be praising Mike right now, not asking where this guy is or where was that guy. All those guys could have got yanked at some point. So kudos to Mike, man, for trying to do something. That's what a coach's job is, to try to find something in chaos. So, again, like, it's disappointing. I'm not going to get too livid about it, but we got to pick this right back up, man. And hopefully Phoenix loses tonight and just got to move on, bro. Thanks, man.
Come on, Atlanta Hawks. Actually, you know what, Manny, though? Do you think there was a Prit contest between De'Aaron and Jordan Poole? They were talking shit all night. This is actually an out-of-character performance from De'Aaron. Shooting 31 times is not De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Maybe Poole said something that triggered something and he was trying to prove something. I don't know. It happens. I mean, that's the one thing, right? Like, we all talk about the Jordan tendencies, right, where somebody says something to you and it kind of hits a switch and every player's done it. I don't care who the player is. Every top NBA player or any in any league or whatever, somebody says something and they set them off, and sometimes you get an incredible performance from them, and sometimes maybe they do something like what Fox did. But hey, man, at least he's competitive. Like, yeah, some of those shots were, he didn't need to shoot that many threes, and some of those shots were, were questionable, but it happens. And every great NBA player, it's happened. So I just got to dust it off and get on to the next one.
100%. Nobody said this is going to be easy. That's not even life, and it's not even basketball, if you've been watching long enough. So
I don't want to be disrespectful, but when there's a chance, I can't request. So can you give me the...
Go for it.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I don't want to be disrespectful again.
Eurosec, if you say anything about taking me on a trip, I'm in.
I would, brother. If you ever come to New York next April 7th, I'm going to the game. If you ever think about coming, I'll get you the tickets.
I'm going to hold you to that.
It's on me. Just get yourself to New York. I'll get you the tickets. What was I going to say? So, yeah, Mike Brown is the last person to blame on the losses like this. The guy works hard. We can see that every time he's supposed to make a move, he does it. Like, I watch every single post-game interview of Mike Brown. He literally says the same thing we say on the space, bro. Like, he says the same things. But like I said, Doc Christie isn't the one who plays out there. Mike Brown isn't the one that plays out there. It's the players. And what was I going to say? So, yeah, like the games like this, if you lose, you're supposed to make a big comeback after, like, the next game. Next game is with Orlando. Pelicans lost to Orlando, right? So you're supposed to beat Orlando, especially knowing that Ingram is gone for the season. You know, it's a good chance Pelicans are going to fall down. And then you have a chance to, you know, if you beat Orlando, Pels lost to Orlando, then you're back up. But then you're playing Dallas Mavericks. That's a killer. Yeah, twice in a row. You got to win at least one of them because their schedule is so easy. Did you see their schedule? They're playing like all the easy teams. And it's scary that Dallas Mavericks are doing very well against easy teams, unlike the Kings. So you got to beat them. Not even once, I guess. You got to beat them twice in a row. You know? My biggest concern is I would fucking jump outside the window. If we go to play in, and if we lose the Lakers, oh man, I will fucking punch the walls. I'll do everything to, you know, end my life. I don't want to live anymore if you lose the Lakers in the play in. Imagine that. That's the worst case scenario, but hopefully, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but Ingram is, you know, out for the season. So the Pelicans are going to go down. Hopefully, we're going to take their spot. That's all I'm hoping for. Thank you.
We take their spot if we win, and it's 50-50 all the way through. And don't forget, we have that road trip of death in April where we have New York Knicks and the Celtics back-to-back, and that's going to be crazy, and nothing's going to be settled standing-wise. But thank you, Manny. Thank you, Eurosec. Appreciate it. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. So, yeah, like a lot of people said, I kind of just add that big problem with this game was in other games where we've won, where we shot terrible from outside, we have usually been able to like out-rebound the other team. And I think a lot of what went wrong in this game was a lot about like the boards and just like it wasn't effort. It was just really a lot of dumb decisions, you know, bad decisions with the ball, bad decisions with rebounding. One thing I'll say about like that road trip, you talk about the road trip of death, like the one slight silver lining is that there's a really good chance that Boston will have like the number one overall seed locked up so thoroughly by that point, they might be sitting their starter. So we'll see what happens, but that is like one of those, that's going to be a weird part of the season. So, but yeah, this game, you lost a game you could have won. And like that sucks. The one good thing is I think this team has responded and has shown time and time again that they are really good at responding after a bad loss. And I think it's actually a really good thing that Monk was pissed off leaving because, yeah, the guy should feel pissed off. Like they had a very good opportunity to win this game. Like it wasn't just in multiple times, if they just played a bit smarter, they probably win this game. If they play, like take the ball into the paint more or make a different play. They had multiple times where they had it right in range and they just made bad decisions and that allowed, you know, the Wizards to have confidence. So sucks that we lost it. the good news, the team has to majorly respond, and they've shown that before. So if they can, you know, they've got the Wizards, or not Orlando, then you've got the 76ers, who've been struggling a lot recently. And then you have like Mavericks, which we've had, which you've done pretty well against so far this season. So you really got to win at least one of those two Mavs games, if not ideally both. And yeah, it kind of sucks that like Ingram got hurt, and we'll see what ends up happening with the Pelicans. Like, there's a real possibility that like the West becomes like us and the Mavs both in somewhere in the 5 or 6, and you know, Pelicans in the play-in or something like that. It's hard to know because everything's so close. But yeah, Sox, we lost this game. We played probably our worst game since All-Star break. The good news is, for the most part since All-Star break, we've been playing more often really good defense. And so I think this team will respond well and hopefully get the next couple games coming up.
Right on, David.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And you know what's funny? I've been in March Madness mode, not to mention just other things going on in life, period. I had no idea Boston was up 11 games over Milwaukee. And
they're pretty much almost locked for the number one.
In Cleveland.
Yeah, that's crazy. Three.
Well, and they have like the one of the easiest schedules the rest of the way. Like they're probably going to lock it up in a few more, in a week.
Yeah, I hate
their magic number is three.
Right. I hate depending on teams to do us any favors. And yeah, go ahead and win out. But yeah, maybe that is a good point, though. Thank you for that. But yeah, we shall see. Those Mavericks games are going to be crazy. That road trip is going to be wild. You know, if we come out alive 50-50, that would be a success, in my opinion. Ross, thank you for your – and David, thank you again. Ross, thanks for your patience. What's going on?
Yeah, no problem, man. Well said by everybody. I just want us to win all our games and lose none of our games. So I don't know why that doesn't happen more often. Just kidding. For the last couple of weeks, I've been I don't even check the standings anymore. I mean, I might glance from time to time, but it's really just a good way to stress yourself out. We've been like up no more than a half game and pretty much no more back than a game and a half. So it's going to play out like it plays out. I've said it before. If we make the play in, I'm okay with it because I've said it a million times. I feel like our timeline is not the same as a lot of these other teams, and our assets spent are not, not the same as these other teams. So as much as our fan base is insanely invested in what happens this year, the other fan bases that are in the same position as us are so much more invested, because Phoenix, you know, a lot is on the line. Dallas is, you know, they went to the Western Conference Finals like 3-4 years ago. So all these teams, you know, the Pelicans have a huge choice with Zion and Ingram moving forward. And then the other top teams in the four, we already talked about that. But as far as the game, it was just a tough game. Travel on a back-to-back is never easy. This team's played really well the last 10, 15 games, and they just had kind of night when you shoot 28% from three and Fox shoots 30% from the floor and still have a chance to win. I mean, it's frustrating, it's annoying, but if you really just want to break it down simple, just look at those two things. We couldn't hit a three. Fox just didn't have it tonight for whatever reason, which is okay, because you know, you kind of live and die by Fox. And he just didn't have it tonight. And it is what it is, because he saved our ass, you know, as early as, you know, two games ago, hitting that shot to send it to overtime. So with star players, they're going to have nights like that. And with Fox shooting a bunch of these outside shots, I mean, we've been watching it the last pretty much the whole season, but the last 10 games since they've kind of cut down on the fouls, his free throw shooting's dropping and he's just getting really beat up on the inside. So you almost wonder, you know, how much is body preservation, because you really don't want to, you know, deal with getting your, you know, basically getting jumped on the inside and only getting 2-3 free throws at the end of the game. So not really going to blame him too much for that. He just had an off night. I love what everybody's saying about coaching and, you know, giving Mike Brown his shout out for kind of scrambling, because a lot of times when things go wrong, you see the timeline just immediately go to coaching. But when we have a really good game and we win, like, you know, when we game planned against Milwaukee and the Lakers and had those great wins, you pretty much never hear Mike Brown's name. So it's just kind of an easy cop out. A lot of people don't realize the difficulties of being a head coach on any facet, from down to AAU to, you know, the NBA. And when you start getting the NBA, you get into these really complicated things that aren't like, I should just give this guy 28 minutes tonight because we'll win. A lot of people were calling for, you know, why didn't Keon play earlier in the season? First, you have a GM that's playing Kevin Huerter, because Kevin Huerter was our biggest guy on the trade block. So you have to play him a bunch of minutes, and trade deadline just ended 5-6 weeks ago. So now that you pass that, you have people in line. You have Duarte. Duarte we got in a trade, and his potential value is massive because we have him on, we have his rights. So if he turns out to be a really good player, you got a guy locked up for 6-7 years on a reasonable deal. And then you got Davion, who was a lottery pick. So as much as we want to say, and even maybe think Keon should be, you know, just skip up, there's so much politics, and beyond the politics, you're dealing with players' egos, keeping their confidence up, keeping them engaged. It's really hard to coach in the NBA, and we're so lucky to have Mike Brown. It's going to be a while before I kind of question what he does. And then missing, you know, guys like Huerter, we're going to feel it. You know, it puts a little pressure on Keon. I don't have any doubts about him, but you're also missing Trey Lyles, which we can all agree Trey Lyles is just a huge piece for us. He's just kind of that steady guy off the bench. Like if we play him tonight, you almost feel like he would have knocked down a couple of those key threes. He just makes timely baskets, you know, plays good defense for not being the most athletic guy. And then just lastly, you know, we lost the Wizards, but that's kind of who this team has been all year. And I think it's kind of funny that people keep going back to, why didn't we win this game? We should win this game. The team and the players, I guarantee you, they wanted to win this game. We might just not be at the talent level, or the, you know, we might not have our synergy yet, but we all want to really win against these bad teams, but it doesn't mean just because you want it really bad, it's going to actually happen. You got to have time and development, and maybe Monty needs to get us one or two pieces before we can confidently go in against bad teams and say it's a guaranteed win. So it is what it is. Move on to the next game, and you know, we're going to make the play on it, play in at least. So, you know, keep your heads up, King fan.
Love it, Russ. Thanks for that. On to the next, as they say. Yeah, and I'm a broken record. I know. I say the same shit every episode, but there's a difference between wanting to win and expecting to win. Once you start expecting to win, and you sort of have this entitlement and thinking that this team is going to win every game, we know they're not. This is a 500 to 600 team, so there's going to be losses. And you can't pick and choose when you're going to lose. So what can you say? It is what it is. Last night would have been a poor loss, considering they were depleted and the Raptors were playing their third string bench players, maybe a few G Leaguers. Whereas this team, there's some talent there. They're not street cones. Kyle Kuzma isn't a street cone. He could go nuclear. He's ignitable, as they say. Denny Advia is ignitable, and he's been balling out this year. He's taken a leap. Again, I already said Rashawn had a bone to pick. You know, he's playing against a former team. He could have 10 rebounds. That's expected. Kispert has leveled up. We know what Jordan Poole can do. And then my man, Johnny Davis, who I was so high on when he was a rookie, he's actually showing promise and flashes of being a serviceable combo guard here in the league. It's a beautiful thing. And so, I don't know, I'm not taking this as hard as everybody else. If I am taking it hard, it's only because I want them to stay in the fifth or sixth spot. And that's it. Because I did want them to win. But to expect them to win, you got to change your perspective, I think. You guys are amazing. On to the next, as they say. Have a good evening, good day, good night, and light the beam.
UConn is going to win it all.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.